Welcome to Changeable. This is episode number 295, The Fundamental Exploration of Identity with Dr. Kathleen Perry.
You're tuned in to Changeable with Dr. Amy Johnson. Changeable podcast is all about breaking habits, ending anxiety, and the ironic way change really works. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hey there, welcome back to Changeable. So I have a really amazing conversation for you today. It's a conversation with Kathleen Perry, and we talk about identity in all kinds of different ways. Really, Kathleen talks about it. I just make comments where it makes sense, but I absolutely love the way that she sees this and talks about it and the stories she shares. So we look at exploring this question of who we are and our identity and who and what we're not as she says, really like the most fundamental way to get at all kinds of other things, and other things being like what we want to create and where we feel stuck and what our life looks like on the surface and in the form of it. So it seems sometimes like there's a bit of a disconnect, like who am I is a big question. What does that have to do with where I feel stuck? And what I love about what Kathleen shares and just her work in general, the way she supports people, is she just really sees that connection. She really believes in that connection. She knows it from her own life and her own experience that this bigger identity exploration gets it so much that that kind of makes sense for it to get at, and so much that we would never think it would even touch these specific areas of life. So that's kind of where we go. But Kathleen shares so much about her own explorations and identity, especially around the death of her husband a few years ago, how things have opened up and shifted for her. We talk about how we see this happening for people all the time. And we kind of talk about it with regard to women in particular in their 50s and 60s, which we've both seen, had a lot of clients in that demographic, where it's like they kind of get to a point where identity is just moving like it or not. Like exploration is fine if you do it, but life is doing it. Life is doing it through retirement, through relationship changes, deaths of people around you, all kinds of things seem to spur it on. And sometimes not even those things, you know, sometimes you just see people, and maybe you've experienced this and I have in my own way, you just get to a point where you just cannot do the things you used to do anymore. You just cannot go on or be in the world the way you used to. And all of these are different ways of identity shifting. So it's a really, really amazing conversation. I loved it. Kathleen talks about a free masterclass that she's doing at the end of it. So check that out. I highly recommend it. And I'll put the link to her course and her masterclass here in the show notes. So enjoy this conversation with Kathleen Perry. Hi, Kathleen. Thank you so much for coming on Changeable.
Oh, hello, Amy. I am very excited to be here.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to this conversation. So so maybe we're going to talk a little bit about identity, and that's a very broad topic. There's so many things we could talk about, ways it impacts our life. I mean, ways it like creates our life, really. To say that identity impacts our life is an understatement. It really like is our life to some degree. So there's so much here I'm excited about. But I guess maybe for people, just to get a sense of who you are, maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So I'm glad we're going to talk about identity because it is big. And I think it informs everything, like everything about us, everything about the world. So how do we talk about that? We'll see where that goes. You know, maybe I start with personally identity. I feel like for a long, long time, and I can't think back how far, you know, I was like a seeker, whether it was like psychology, spirituality, like, why am I here? You know, who or what is God? I was fascinated with all of that. You know, what is my psychology? Why do I do the things I do? What's my purpose here? Those questions were there a long, long time ago. And then I got into, I was a chiropractic sports physician, and then I was practiced functional medicine with a focus on women's health and acupuncture. And throughout my career, I could see that people, you know, knew things to do to improve their health, but the implementation was the challenge. Like, I know what to do, but why is it I can't get myself to do what I need to do? And so I was really curious, and I saw myself way back in my early years in my career as, you know, kind of a coach, kind of a, the way I saw it back then, I called it like mindset, you know, which is still a term bantered around today. But I remember, and I will reveal my age here, in 1991, for my 30th birthday, I treated myself to 10 days on the Big Island with Tony Robbins. Walk over the hot coals, jump off of a two and a half story telephone pole, all that stuff. But there was something in the program that I came away from, because he was talking about identity. And I was like, oh my gosh, it just, something opened up for me. And I thought, wow, if we can get that right, if we can get that identity thing right, then our come from, you know, then we if we be who we are first, then we do, and we show up in the world. And I look back now and I see it as, it was all about like empowerment, you know, be a better version of yourself. But it was nudging me in the right direction. And then probably about 10 years later, maybe like around 2000, I met someone who became a bit of a spiritual mentor for me. And we were exploring Christian mystics and the idea of oneness. And so much of it I tried to get intellectually. And it just, I knew I was drawn to it. I knew there was something there. But I felt like I didn't really understand it. And all the while, Amy, I was just going about trying to be successful, helping people, building my practice, being in a couple marriages that didn't work out, and then finally meeting the love of my life. And all the while, now as I look back, like, I had a case of mistaken identity. What I thought was the identity is not anything close to, like, it is the false identity. That's what I thought was the real identity. And, you know, there's a whole long story of how I got from there to what I see now. And I would attribute it to serendipitous events and teachers and reading. And it's just one thing sounded true. And then I went further into that. And, you know, and I wish I could here credit all the wonderful teachers and books and podcasts and all those things, because they were in courses that I took and mentors. It all got me to where I am. But there was this intellectual understanding of it. And what happened to me was I got hit over the head by the cosmic 2x4, I guess. The rug got pulled out from underneath me 3.5 years ago. My husband died. And he was ill for a while, and he was in hospice. And it was I had a very challenging 2 years where COVID hit. And so my brick and mortar women's health practice, I had built, you know, a local big, built out a big space and had a nice practice going, you know, we got shut down. And I decided to come home, and my husband said, you know, I don't want you to go back. And I didn't want to either. So I was home with him full time for 4 months. And held him in my arms when he took his last breath. And that was in July of 2020. So we talked about it, you know, try to keep the practice going. And I was doing a lot of things online. And then I thought, well, a couple months, I'll ease my way back in. And, something was happening to me that was something that he didn't understand what was happening. But I felt like I'd done a decent amount of self-care. So I was explaining it like, well, my cup is not overflowing. That's why I can't go back to work, because I help other people for a living. And so, but I just couldn't. So I got to January, like 6 months later, and I took a look at things and I thought, I need another year. I just knew it. I needed another year. And at the time, I was really thinking I wanted to head in a different direction or slightly different direction where I would share more of this sort of thing. And to me, it looked like, you know, the word I had for it was coaching. That's what I wanted to do. And so what I see now, you know, and as I was exploring how to be a better coach, I was finding out more about my true identity. That's what was being revealed in this. And it was like not me doing that. And so now I look back and I was like, I would say all along, I would say like, I don't know why I can't pick up the phone and call a former patient to let her know that I'm offering coaching services now, but I couldn't. It's like, there was the phone, but I couldn't do it. It was like I was frozen. And yet on some level, I knew there was this deep intelligence operating. And so what I see now is that the identity is the who I really am, the who we really are, is ineffable. I mean, I can't put it into words, but it isn't what I thought it was. And it is the understanding of that is what can change anything and everything for an individual and for the world. And it sounds like a really big claim to make, but the way I see it, it's true that when we understand that we are pure, unconditional love, that we are a space of limitless potential and possibility, that we are, you know, something, we inhabit a body, we have thoughts, we have beliefs, we have a history, we may have had challenge and trauma, we have a story, and none of that, that's all conceptual. It's not that that didn't happen. It's not that we don't have a body. I mean, I have a knee with two screws in it, you know, but the real me just inhabits that body. It's not who I am. So knowing that, understanding that, it has implications in every possible domain of life. And it flips everything upside down. The self-help, the positive psychology, the mindset, the empowerment that looked to me like what would bring peace and contentment and happiness and change. And, you know, and if I got that all right, my marriages would be better. My practice would grow. I'd reach more people in the world, and I'd, you know, be an agent of change. And it was all based on trying to improve and fix an identity that was conceptual. So it's not even real. I mean, in addition to not being who we are, it doesn't really even exist except for in our mind. So I still operate as that identity, you know, but I catch myself and it's fun and it's laughable now most of the time. Sometimes it's not so funny. But yeah, so when I was caring for my husband was the time in my life where I had the most anxiety. How's he going to die? What am I going to do? I'm in the midst of COVID. He didn't want hospice nurses in the house. And I reached out to a grief counselor and she was really helpful. And she said, we had one conversation. She said, well, Kathleen, who are you going to be when you're no longer Mrs. Mike Perry? You're going to have to deal with that. And I thought, like, I never identified as that. Like, that wasn't who I was. Like, that wasn't the construct that I had created, right? But boy, did I find out after he died, it just started happening. I call it my undoing. Like, she's come undone. This deconstruction of, and the area I think I was clearly most identified with was as a healer, healthcare provider, an entrepreneur, a businesswoman. And in the past 3 years, that has let go of me in this not being able to do, like just this like paralyzed, frozen. And then also it feels like if there is a voluntary me, if there is a me, if there is something about me that is like surrendering to that. Yeah. So how's that for a starter?
It's amazing. I love it. There's so much. It's just so relatable. And this is what I love. Like, even people who haven't ever been curious about identity ever, or even think about these things, like we know, well, not we, because I'm one of you, but you know, we can all recognize ourselves in this. We haven't been through what you've been through. Not everybody cares about these topics, but it's so recognizable as like just the way of life. I feel like, you know, things happen that are often shocking, that pull the rug out, whatever, or we just think we should push through and we find that we can't. And then there's just this unraveling of like, well, who am I if not this? Who am I if I'm not doing that? And even when we're not explicitly asking those questions, it's like that feels like that's what's coming to light all the time.
I think, you know, what we talked about this in another conversation, but I work with children and I work with anybody, but probably the people I see the most are 50 and 60 year old women like me. Well, I'm over 60. I'm 60. I think that it's common that the rug is pulled out, or that a lot of people do have this experience of, well, who am I? Because in that phase of life, you know, you're an empty nester, there's retirement, you know, so you're not, you know, maybe your spouse retires or, you know, and I just think all people, but I can relate a lot to the 50 and 60 year old woman, that the roles just, sometimes life just automatically changes things. And then, and when we get to be 50 and 60, it might not be your spouse, but people you love and people close to you die, you know, and that all of a sudden, so I don't know, whatever it is, life serves up, you know, yeah. And something that gave people questioning, you know, who am I? But also, Amy, I think it's the, I always say people come to me with either they're up against something or they're up to something, or whether they come to me, whether I'm just talking to a friend that I play pickleball with, you know, I hear that in their story. This seeing who they truly are, to me, is the solution to the what am I up to that I feel stuck around, or what am I up against that I'm feeling like I got to make a decision and I don't see the answer. It seems counterintuitive to say, don't look at the problem or the challenge, turn around and enter into an exploration of who you are. Because when you see who you are in the limitless, like that mental construct that we've made up, that identification with thoughts and beliefs in our history, and you know, it's like, it's so limiting. Mm-hmm. So people might not be curious about who am I, but they sure are up to something or up against something in their life, you know? And my encouragement is to just like, people will probably listen to this conversation. I hope, I'm sure we both hope. And they'll go, wow, I never thought about how what I'm up to or what I'm up against could shift and change by taking a look at who am I?
Yeah.
Seems kind of weird.
Would you say that's because this is just what comes up for me, but I want to hear you flesh it out a bit if you could. Like the challenge, when we're up to something or up against something and there's some challenge, it looks to me like in some way that challenge is just revealing an identification with anything, right? How would you say that?
So true. I mean, you nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. So how would I help flesh that out? Right. If we said, you know, up to something, like you want to create something, you want to have a fresh aliveness in your marriage. You want to create the finances for a vacation, or you're up against, you know, I'm not moving my body enough. I want to start exercising. I want to establish a kind of a, you know, autopilot habit in my life. The fact that those things look like problems point back to a case of mistaken identity. Like, and they are, they kind of are about the me, this persona in a way. Mm-hmm. And yet we do want to see change in the world and in our lives. So it's like, I think the problem exists because we're trying to solve it from the personal me. So when we, I'm up to enrolling people in a course in a small group program. And to the identity, me, it looks like I have a problem called, I don't like marketing. I don't know how. I have something that is deeply transformative, a very cool exploration, and has the potential to have a massive impact. But the me goes like, oh, problem. Like, I'm not an established coach. I don't have a podcast like Dr. Amy Johnson, you know. So me, Kathleen, there's this problem called, how do I find those people? And so it points right back to, well, if I could identify with the pure potential, the unlimited pure possibility that I truly am, that I'm one with everything, that's where the answer lies. So the problem points right back to the personal, separate self, ego, identity construct. I like to try to use a lot of different words because maybe a different word will speak to someone. How do you see it?
Oh, I love that. I think it's so sneaky sometimes. We just don't see that. Like I can hear people in their heads listening maybe who say like, no, but there is a real problem. Like you do need to find people. You do need to do some marketing, you know, and yes, like maybe those things will be done or should be done or could be done, of course. But there's like something so massive, but it's also so subtle in this where it's like when we're saying that, and I've said that in my head many times, no, but really, like that's still being filtered through, like you said, this personal me. It's still on some level like, yeah, but that's real is kind of our opportunity to do again, go right back and be like, but like, who's in the center of this and why does it matter and who has the problem? There's so much of that we just miss because we're just such a fish in water with it. That to the extent that that feels like a problem and that it feels like insecurity and neediness and all the stuff that it will feel like, that's what's showing us, oh, this looks like I'm on some level, I'm lacking. I'm not whole enough. I'm not good enough. And that's what you're pointing to as being absolutely not the truth. That's not our identity. So I don't know. It's just what I heard when you said that is like, the practical, the way the mind will argue, like, no, but this is a practical thing. And fine, there's practical obstacles in the world, but that's not really what we're saying. We can Google answers to practical obstacles all day long. It's when it feels like needy, heavy. Like we know from the feeling that that's about a little me.
Exactly. And I almost heard this. I don't know how this is going to come out, but the difference between problem and opportunity, or problem and potential, or because yes, like I want to share this course that I've created. So in order for people, you know, to benefit from it. Yeah, in the world of form, there's some things that will need to happen, but when I make it really personal, then I get all, yeah. I get that feeling of really uptight, like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. Well, identity me, ego me, maybe doesn't know what to do. So if I can just loosen my grip on that and go, well, what if I align with the identity of the truth of who I really am. And then ideas and synchronicities, everyone's had that experience, Amy. Everyone's had that, like a magical, like something in their life that just felt like they were just on a magic carpet ride. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love what you said about when it looks like a problem and it doesn't feel good, however it feels to you or me or anybody, that's the sign right there that we're not aligned with the truth of who we are. We're caught up in what looks like a real problem. And all that's telling us is that we've become identified with the who we're not.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me think too of what you said when your husband was dying and you were like, and he was like, get back to the business and all of that. And then you just couldn't. Where it's also, it's easy to hear this. And I think I'm sure from that perspective of the separate me that wants things and not even wants things in a I don't even mean that in like any kind of needy way, but like you have this amazing course and you know the power of it. So of course you want to lead it for yourself. You want to see people benefit from it. So our wanting of things can, you know, I don't mean that in like a selfish way or anything like that. It can be totally well-intentioned and all of that. But it's funny how this me had part of that little identity as less than the whole of everything seems to bring with it just agendas and ideas like that this course should fill now as opposed to next year. Just like when Mike was dying and it was like, oh, I should get back in the business now. And then life was like, no, you shouldn't. And we're not going to let you. You can't push your way through it. So it's like we get to keep backing up. And I guess this is ultimately what the identity exploration is. It keeps backing us up from who we think we are, who we take ourselves to be, and how life looks that way to bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually, I think we back up to this place, it seems like, where we're like, I don't know. I have no idea what the heck should happen and in what timing. But that doesn't prevent us from going full out and doing things. And in fact, you know, ironically, that's kind of typically how we go out and do things.
Yeah. I love that. Because the minute we see that the identity ego persona that we've constructed is so limited, it's kind of what I heard and what you were saying, then when we open up to that answer to the question, who am I? I have no idea. Because I really don't. Because it's not what I was before. I can use imagination to create who I'm going to be in the future. But the openness to anything is possible has to be from a place of, I don't know. I don't know. I can't know that. And it's so then it seems like, okay, so then are we going to just sit with, well, I don't know who I am. And I don't know, you know, what my purpose is and what I'm like. But you were talking about this wanting, and that's with equal passion, I'm curious about desire. And I've been writing blog posts and thinking about books on identity, or the other topic was desire is divine, because I see. And it can be wanting can be another word, but desire to me to me, it's the spark. It's the communication with this oneness, this divine, this life force energy. It is that coming alive. And I love like an exploration of the creative process and how I see us as a vessel of to be used for creativity. But when we can be that vessel from a place of, I don't know. I don't know who I am. I don't know. And yet I feel the soul tug. You know, I'm like, I already created the course. I don't know where the people are, but that creative, like there's, it really is about a lot about what I've been exploring on identity and desire, that I created a course that just literally came through me.
Yeah.
So anyway.
No, I love that. It's like, yeah, like this place of just watching. That's how I think. And I don't, people can make that a thing too much too, but like that I don't know place is like, ooh, there's a pull, there's something, there's desire. It naturally propels you into action. But then, who knows what that's going to look like exactly. It's almost just this, like I love the question, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen. That's been so helpful for me, because it used to look very much like I need to know what's going to, not only know what's going to happen, but then make it happen. And it's up to me to decide what's going to happen. And to have that flipped years ago, be like, ooh, I wonder what wants to happen, or I wonder what's going to happen. especially when it's time to do something that feels like a challenge or make a decision. It's such a reminder that as that bigger identity, yeah, we just get to watch it unfold.
Yeah. I know that when the shift for me from I need to make it happen, you know, really, really started happening. Like I said, all this stuff was, I had it intellectually, but it was not an embodied lived experience in my life. I was still on the hamster wheel of success. I got exhausted. I mean, it was exhausting. That was part of the feeling of paralysis of like, I just can't pick up the phone and call somebody because I was tired. And it wasn't, I mean, yeah, I was grieving. I'd been through a lot, and I had two other deaths within the next couple of years. Like it just, but a lot of the fatigue was, you know, just grabbing that steering wheel of life. Like, it's up to me. If it's to be, it's up to me. So, and I also, when you said, I wonder what's going to happen, I remember a time when that felt like curiosity and wonder didn't feel safe. You know, like, well, because it meant that I had to realize that I really didn't have control anyway, yeah. You know, and that I wanted to stop trying to make it happen because I was exhausted. And yet I had to become, so simultaneously, you know, as I was becoming undone, as this deconstruction of who I thought I was happening, a grounding into who I was happening. And that's where trust came. And that's why, you know, right now the working title of my course is Self-Reclamation, the Self-Reclamation Project, but that there's a home, there's a space, there's a knowing of this who we are that is formless. And it is, you know, the more we experience it, you know, and again, this can start to again look like a strategy or a technique, and it's, you know, a place for more conversation, but all of us started feeling safe. And then it was curiosity and wonder was able to open up for me. And I bring that up because it's been the experience of a lot of people that I've worked with who, as they start to explore who they're not, until they get more grounded in who they are, it's there can be this feeling of like groundlessness, yeah. Of, wait a minute, you know, this is really confronting because I'm starting to see who I'm not, but yet I'm not really sure what I am. And I don't know, you know, I think for different people, like the volume is turned up on one more than the other, or sometimes they're both. I felt it for me happening at the same time. You know, it seemed like it was, but I think for other people, sometimes like this shedding or deconstruction, the shedding of the ego identity, you know, happens abruptly before they've had a chance to really. That's why this conversation about identity, like who you are, can be so helpful. If life has, see, I think in grief, you know, talked to a lot of people since my husband died. They're losing an identity. You know, they've lost the love of their life, if it's their spouse or you know, a child or someone or a parent, someone close. But it's a big wake up call. I think it can be the grief is not just the loss of that person. It's a loss of a part of their constructed, not who they are, identity. And it doesn't mean you don't love the person who's gone and that you're not going through that grief. But I think what's happening at the same time, whether people ever really see it, but kind of like the grief therapist said to me, like, who are you going to be when you're not Mrs. Mike Perry?
Yeah.
And I think if people can see that piece, it can make the process of the stripping away, the shedding of the false identity, you know, just a little bit more tolerable, sometimes meaning in it. For me, it was a gift. It was a gift. Like my whole relationship with that beautiful man was a gift. And his death was a gift to me. I mean, I 100%. It was a huge gift.
That I love this topic too, of just how it can be hard and just how the mind, as identities are being pulled away and questioned and coming undone, how the mind scrambles to like find anything in its place. And so, you know, and I think that, like you said, sometimes when it's really terrifying and discombobulating, it feels like it's like there's still a sense of everything separate, and now everything separate, but I don't know who I am in this land of separation. And this is just one way of saying it. Maybe this doesn't happen. I know it doesn't happen this way for everyone, but it's almost like as we swing now to like, not so much a new identity, but a bigger perspective of like, no, we're everything. You're nothing in a sense. You're nothing that you thought you were, really. And that's the scary part at times, but you're not just out here floating around in nothingness. Like, we're also everything. And I don't know, there's something in that that's so beautiful. And it just feels like it speaks to exactly what you've been through in the last few years, especially, and what you're speaking to, and speaks to, you know, for people listening, like just the benefit of having some context, having some support as we're going through this. I agree with you that this is the absolute most fundamental, best exploration to go on for anything, if aren't just because, but especially if you're up against stuff or whatever. But yeah, to do it with someone is huge.
Yeah, that is huge, Amy. Like, I did a lot of what I did in isolation, and what I found community eventually, and I found my community. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was part of the gift. Like, it led me to my community. And so, you know, going through something like this, or just being up to something cool, it's fun to do it in a community of people that are, you know, curious and open and wondering about the same things that we are. And the other thing, you said something about, I don't know, the word emptiness came up, like this, who we are is that we're everything and we're one with everything and we're nothing. I had no idea what was going on, but for like, it was literally like clockwork. I'd wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning for 4 days after my husband died, laid on my back in bed with my two dogs for 4 hours. And we'd had oxygen concentrators running. And so that was all. And it was like pure silence. Normally, that's the time of day I would get up and I'd listen to podcasts and I'd be reading and I'd like just like all this input coming in. And I had no tolerance. I had no tolerance for noise. I had no tolerance to read anything. And there I laid, and I'm not like a meditator or anything, but I laid there awake for 4 hours. And when I got up to Denver, where I buried my husband, that's where my mentor, the guy I mentioned that I met in 2000, I had lunch with him and I was describing it to him. And he said, I was like, I have no idea what that was all about. But I was just, again, it was just this happened to me. And I felt the word for it was empty. And he was like, oh, that's it. That's presence. That's God. That's oneness. That's whatever a person's word for it. And it was like, I look back now and I was like, oh, that was my initiation. You know, that was the portal. That was the beginning of the gift. And it just, I don't know, the mind, right? One thing I know my mind wants to do is like, well, how can I make that happen again? Yeah. You know, like, well, not the illness and the death part.
Not that part.
But you know what? Guess what? I'm made for this life. We're all made for it. We're made for it.
Yeah.
We're made for feeling all the feelings. We're made for being with and present to whatever is happening. And we're made to re-engage, you know, in the world of form, and to laugh and play and cry and all the things.
I love that you said that about re-engaging, because it's like, it doesn't have to happen like that again. You already had that. Now you're doing different things. And this is so big for everyone, right? Like, we have these moments or periods of time where it's like bliss and quietness and all of that. And of course, everybody's mind wants to hold on to that. But life comes back in, because that's what happens. And how is life any less of a teacher than silence? Of course it isn't. It's all the same. It's all that emptiness in different form. And so just, I don't know, just how you said that is so beautiful. It feels like it kind of brings this full circle, where it's like such an integration. And it's like anything we're up to, up against, doing in life is it. That's our opportunity to see identity right there.
Exactly. That is the word. We have these levels of self-realization, or to me, I love the word self-reclamation, because it's always been there. It's always who we are. It's like going back home to, you know, and the word came up interestingly, because I had so many of my female patients that would come with health challenges, physical health challenges and stress. Like, I just want to feel like myself again. And it was funny. I was like, well, what self is that? And I knew what they meant. You know, and somehow that word of self-reclamation came from that. But I think we have these insights into our true nature, our essence. And then there's a process of integrating it. And then it becomes integrated. And then as you engage in the world, it's like everything looks different, you know, and new things are created, and new relationships with different people are forged. And So I think that this conversation speaks to, I hope it does speak to a lot of people at maybe crossroads in their life, or you know, up against something big, or in that place where a role has changed, you know, they're an empty nester, or they're the first, people talk about the first year of retirement is sometimes being challenging, like, now what, you know? So there, whatever it is, it happens through life.
So can you tell us a little bit about more about the course? It sounds amazing. And I love that we got this little inside peek to how it just sort of flowed through you too. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, of course, I get to be an observer and also the vessel of, you know, the the people that are, I believe, meant to be sharing this journey with me. So that's going to be really cool. Like, and I don't know, right? I'm in a place of I don't know. And then, of course, my mind doesn't want to jump in and go, but Kathleen, you should know, like, you've had 5 successful practices before. And I'm like, thank you very much. So, yes, the course will begin May 8th and it will run until October 19th. And each month there will be 3 live webinars that will begin with some sharing on my part, which will be based on the curriculum that goes with the course. So it's a hybrid of an online curriculum with videos mostly and some text that probably on average is an hour to maximum 2 hours a month of content to consume. No exercises, no homework, just consuming the content. Then we come together to share. You know, I'll speak more about the content and then we'll have an opportunity to share what people are seeing, answer any questions. And I've set it up where there are 3 live meetings like that per month. And they're at different times and different time zones. So like a Tuesday noon, a Wednesday evening, a Saturday afternoon, something like that. And I encourage people to just make sure they attend at least 1 live. That's the commitment that I'd want. But more than 1 is great because there's so much to be seen in the community. So the meetings, the webinars, the curriculum, then I'm going to establish like a buddy system where, and I think it will be apparent early on that the alchemy of the people that are drawn to this, everybody's going to be, you know, maybe a little bit nervous in the beginning sharing, but it'll be soon clear because I've done enough of this that it's a safe space. So they'll get paired up with buddies. So each month it'll be 2s or 3s, depending on what enrollment looks like. And it'll just be a suggestion that they get together at least for an hour to share what they've seen. And then the next month it'll get mixed up and they'll have new buddies. In between our meetings, and I'm available for questions. And the way I like to, I'm a talker more than a writer. So I like to answer questions with text or video. And so they can, I haven't decided, depending on who enrolls, you know, we might use WhatsApp, something like that. So they can, or they can email me a question. And then I'll provide the answer with text for everyone to see. Or if it's a video, it'll be on the in the portal for the online curriculum. In the beginning, we're going to look at who we're not. We're going to look at who we are. This is kind of month to month. And then we're going to kind of like play with these different domains of life. And I kind of have these little buckets the way I see it. But again, and the curriculum is set up. But if something arises with the participants, hey, we're going to go in that direction. If that's the way life is taking the course, you know, that's the way that the people are seeing what they're seeing, we'll follow that. But we'll be looking at some basic domains that I see, like self-expression, creativity, career, entrepreneurship, small business, like you're starting a business, taking a business to a new level, making a career change, retirement, I don't know anything, or creativity, starting a creative passion, relationships, you know, obviously with the self, family, friends, the larger community, you know, what's our relationship with like who we are being in the world and possibly change. Then health, physical health, that's a big one. We didn't talk about that today, but the implications of identity are huge when it comes to physical health and emotional and mental well-being. And then money and finance and abundance. And, you know, I'm always seeing more in all of those areas. So like I'm a participant as much as I am a leader. And the final month is going to be just open for everybody to, you know, just ask questions, talk about what's next. So that's what we're up to.
I love it. I mean, I love the format, the buddy system's amazing. Like, that's the kind of thing that I know for myself going in. I might be like, oh, I have to have a buddy. But you know, every time you've done that, every time I've done it, that's like one of the best parts, right? It's like, it's so impactful to, especially if that feels outside of your comfort zone, to just talk with someone and to articulate what you're seeing. Even though this is totally ineffable, like you said, when we try, so much seems to open up more. So this, I think the format is amazing. And the fact that it's like 6 months, it just feels so good. It feels like such a like safety net, like a safe container for people, like you said, that are going through anything or just really wanting to see all areas of life from a new perspective. Like, to be in this exploration with you for 6 months is, it just feels like such a gift someone can give themselves.
Well, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, Amy, because, I talked to a fellow coach of mine yesterday and I said, I've had a couple of people I've run across, friends, that are like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing for 6 months. No, you don't. And one reason for 6 months is that as we're on this, like life is going to throw some things up that are, so it's a great opportunity that we have 6 months to see what happens in your life that you can bring to this conversation. And back to the buddy system, like another way that kind of will ease people into it is, I forgot to mention that our meetings are going to be an hour, maybe 90 minutes. I haven't really decided yet, but I like to have at least one breakout session so that within the meeting, you get to go into a group. And like you said, you get an opportunity to do an exercise with somebody else, and then you can speak it out and you articulate what you're seeing. My experience has been, I'll find one or two people that I deeply resonate with in a small group. And man, those people sometimes are friends for life.
Yeah.
So that's huge.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And so it starts May 8th. And you're gonna do some kind of like free masterclass or webinar leading up to it. Is that right?
I am. I don't have the details on that yet. That's coming together, but as soon as I have the exact information, you can provide it to people, and it will be a free masterclass where we'll just take a piece of this and we'll explore it, and people will see something, I'm sure.
I love that.
And there's no, it's not necessarily to find out if you want to enroll in the course. Like, I want people to know that this exploration of identity is so important to me that I would love people to spend an hour with me in a live masterclass.
I think that's amazing. I think if anybody, resonated with this conversation, which I think pretty much everyone who listens will, that's just something to do, because you're right. Like, there's nothing to lose. And if you're just interested, like, let's just keep looking in this direction. And I'd love that you just want to offer that in that way. I can really feel, obviously, we can feel your passion and just how real this is for you as you're sharing today. But yeah, I know you just love to get out and share this. I do too.
I do. You do. You do too. We share that same passion. Yeah. And also, it made me think of the coach that I was talking to yesterday, my friend. She said, well, does somebody have to be up against something or up to something to do the 6 month program? Like, what if they're just curious about the exploration? And I said, you know what? In reality, the majority of people I engage with, and I wonder if this is true for you, are coming from that place. Like, they feel this soul tug to join. It's kind of like when Harry met Sally. I'll have what she's having. Mm-hmm. Like, I talk about it and they go, Kathleen, I'm not sure I really understand what you just said, but but I want some of that. Like there's just something in there that's alive. That and when you listen to that, you know, and then I think in the midst of 6 months, you'll see like, oh, that's why I came. Mm-hmm. That's been my personal experience.
Yeah.
And when I do programs like this, and is that true for you also that some people have just come because there's just, they can't tell you why, but they just go, I know I need to be here.
I love when that happens, and it happens more and more. And my theory is that the problem that they're up against or whatever is just the cover anyway. It's like their mind wants to have a valid, like rational reason for doing this. So it'll be like, oh yeah, my relationship's not so good, but that's not really it. I mean, how do we know? But usually it's that. It's some deeper tug that the mind's trying to make sense of.
That's the way it has been for me. And now as I look at the people I've worked with, it's a cover. It's a smokescreen for the real. The last lengthy time commitment, huge financial investment that I committed to that changed my life very recently, I enrolled because I thought this was going to help me build a coaching practice. And instead, it was just more shedding of the identity. It was part of that process of who I'm not and seeing who I really am. And I was, you know, about 6 or 7 months into a 12-month commitment, all the time going like, why am I not calling these people? Why am I not building my coaching practice? Oh, that's what I thought. I needed that to justify, you know, paying for the program and making the commitment. And it was all about something so much bigger than that. It was a smokescreen. It was the way you said it. Like the mind just had to justify.
Yeah.
Wow, this looks really like, it looked indulgent to me to do it for myself. So I had to tell myself, well, it was for my business.
Yes.
It had nothing to do with that.
Oh, I know that feeling. That's why I'm a coach. Because all this stuff I get to do for myself, for my own nudges. And, you know, it's like, it also can be justified. It also helps other people. And it totally does. But it's funny to see through that.
Isn't it? And
you can't be indulgent. That's the interesting part in that. I mean, that's a piece of it anyway, right? And that's so much conditioning in that. But you can't do it for yourself, but you could do it for other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
This has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for coming on. And I'll share the link to your course, which I think if anyone's interested, they should check out. But check out the free class too, either way. That's a great way to just hear more about this from you and with you. But thank you so much for sharing this. I love this.
Amy, thank you. This, I know I was made for this, and I appreciate you because it was so free flowing and so easy. And, you know, you just created this space of these open-ended questions and curiosity that I think the aliveness in here came through, and it was a lot of fun. And I hope your audience takes away a lot just from the conversation.
Yeah, I think they will. Thank you.
Join me for a brand new 6-week course called Exploring the Me and My Life Perspective. We'll examine how me and my life is a point of view we're conditioned into. A point of view that posits there is a me separate from life, having a life. There are many fascinating aspects of this perspective that we'll explore, such as evidence for a separate me, choice and doership, other people, and fully immersing in the senses as a way to explore this point of view. We'll explore in a small group with video lessons, group calls, and a private forum. Go to DrAmyJohnson.com/meandmylife to see all the details. And as a bonus, I'm giving away a private 1-hour coaching session to the first few people who register. Hope to see you there.